Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
657 AM.
This is Intimate Moments, where we're discussing marriage issues. I'm here with Pastor T, discussing the topic healing and restoration in marriage after emotional and spiritual battles. Hey, we go through these things, Pastor T.
A lot, yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
A lot happens. A lot happens in the
that's
journey.
That's why you have to be emotionally matured, spiritually matured, so that you're able to discern,
what am I fighting. What is it that I'm up against?
Exactly, exactly. So we're moving on to the healing journey. A lot of things. You know, when we talk about marriage, people always say, when you are married or you want to be married, you must be a forgiver. Forgive.
Yeah. They say it's a lifetime of forgiving. Yeah, lifetime of forgiving.
Things happen, Pastor T, and really we have to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not easy.
No, it's not at all.
Exactly. Is the first step towards healing when trust has been broken?
When trust has been broken, I would maybe like to highlight that trust can be broken in a lot of areas. So sometimes people like to talk about trust when they talk about infidelity.
Yes,
A person can break your trust as a leader of the family. You can't trust them. You can't trust them with critical decisions, and leadership decisions that he must take. Trust can be broken on that level.
Yeah.
You can't trust somebody with money, because some couples they take money behind their backs to relatives and friends and so forth, and spouses discover these things late. So trust can be broken on different levels. Maybe that's something that we need to talk about. I found that also trust can be broken when your spouse tells you something that is sensitive and you are not able to keep it to yourself, and that information finds itself elsewhere, and maybe, you know, then it reaches the wrong ears, and trust can be broken because now you are your spouse's safe space as well. So trust can be broken on a couple on a lot of levels, but it's unfortunate that, the most common one is usually infidelity, where people then come in and say, how do we rebuild the trust and how do we work towards it? I think the first step, says Amanda, is the acknowledgement of your contribution towards the problem. There are many couples that are demanding forgiveness from their spouses without acknowledging the damage that they have caused. And by acknowledging, I don't mean that you just voice out, listen, I'm sorry, I messed up, I've hurt you, and so forth. But also taking a step forward to maybe seeking the help. And if you're a leader of the family, you must be the one that actually reaches out for help as a leader. It's mostly women that are asking for coaching and counseling, and the men are sort of sitting there at home like, it's going to solve itself. No, you have to say, listen, the fact that the wheels have come off means that we have both contributed to where we are.
Yes.
As a man, this is my contribution towards the problem. And there shouldn't be one that is... you know, when couples go through something like that, there's a competition of pain. That you are the one who caused me pain, that's why I went out and did that. And then the other one will say, no, I did that because you have pushed me away. So they... Never be in a position where you are trying to say whose pain is bigger. Pain is pain.
Yeah.
Whichever way.
Yeah.
Whether the other one feels disrespected and abandoned in the relationship, and whether the one feels the other one was disloyal. Pain is pain. So acknowledge your contribution towards where the marriage is. Don't be a victim. And that is the first step towards it.
Yeah.
Then the second step towards that is that I've just named it, which is now seeking the help. It's very difficult to navigate something like that alone. I'm always telling couples, you cannot navigate a breakdown like that alone. Now, there's a very big danger that people do when they reach loggerheads, which is to call in families. Very wrong move. You don't call in families when you are trying to solve a problem. You call in families when you've reached your limit and now you are thinking of dissolving. Then you say, as a last resort, families must come in. Why? Because families are hardly objective. Families usually take sides. So you need to have a system around you, either of counselors, pastors, or And also, if you have a pastor, discern whether that pastor does have the counseling side of him. Because some pastors are not, are just naturally nurturers, but they don't have the expertise then to navigate challenging situations. And you might find yourself sometimes speaking to a pastor or speaking to a leader, and then he maybe takes the side of one of the spouses. So you need sort of a neutral place where you can say, this is what we have experienced. And I always say, there is so much help that is even in the body of Christ. We have many Christian psychologists, we have many Christian counselors, but somehow when we're at loggerheads, we don't reach out for this knowledge to find out what help can I get. Yeah. So what does a couple do? They try to solve it within it. Then they fight like cat and dog because now they're both bleeding. They're both competing with their pain. Who caused who pain and who pushed who? And they are not getting to the bottom of the problem, to dig the wound out, clean it out, put something on it, then seal it and allow it to heal. You need someone to do that for you. You can't do it to each other. How do you, if you are bleeding, how are you going to tie somebody who's bleeding? Because you're focusing on your own wound, you see. So seek therapy, Christian therapy, preferably a Christian counselor, because some dynamics, they do differ in how Christians run their practices and how non-Christians run their practices. So beyond the therapy, you will now need to integrate and establish new patterns and boundaries for your marriage. So some people, what they do, they go for the help, then they come back to the marriage and they want to do the same things they've been doing before. So they went there to just sign a register. Then, you know, I attended a healing session, whatever, for the sake of my wife or whoever was forcing us. Then they go back to the old patterns. Meaning, if cheating was involved, you would need to, now, at the times that you were cheating, you would now need to be at home, available for your family. So if you're a man who comes back from work at 7 instead of 4:30, that behavior needs to change so that trust can be rebuilt. So you can't rock up at 7 after the whole saga. You have to rock up at home at 4:30 immediately from work, because now you are building afresh. You are trying to say, okay, things did not go right, but now I'm fixing things and I'm doing them right. Obviously, the healing won't come overnight, but that effort kickstarts the healing process. Okay, so you establish new patterns and boundaries, then you forgive whilst you're bleeding. You know, people think that forgiveness is the you need to heal before you forgive.
Then,
and it's a completely wrong stance. You need to forgive whilst you're bleeding, and then that level of letting go then allows you to slowly heal. We're going to get into forgiveness now. Now I know it's our next point, but forgiveness has to happen whilst you're still bleeding. And I'm going to explain with our next point what I mean by that. Because if you wait for healing, you wait forever, especially where trust is broken. If you wait to let me heal first, what if you don't heal in 3-4 years? It means then you can't forgive in 3-4 years, and it means you can't be functional in that season of your life, because you are harboring that offense. So you can still be in pain, but you would have at least released and accepted what has happened and forgiven the individual. But we're going to talk about it.
So tell me, how is it how is it important for you to heal first before expecting the marriage to be healed?
That's a very big one. I once had a case that I was attending. We remember, with coaching, we don't do therapy. With coaching, we're sort of mapping a way forward for couples. So even if we've identified where the problem happened, but we're more interested in how do you move forward from here. Yeah, but what I discovered with this couple was that in the healing journey, they were on two different levels. The other one was like already in Joburg, and another one is in Bronkhorst Spring somewhere. And I had to then advise, you know, because we never promise what we cannot deliver. So I then recommended that, please, can you kindly see someone separately outside of your husband to deal with your own trauma, because it was quite a gruesome experience. So that now, since this one is further than you, once you are done there, you can then come back and we map a vision afresh for your family, and we give you guidelines and policies for your family to help you move forward from here. So individual healing is very important, because if you lag too much behind, you might pull back the other partner who's already ahead. And even for the partner who's ahead, you must understand that we deal with things differently, especially males and females. Males have a tendency to close the chapter and go, and females want to work through every emotion before they can they can go forward. So so what must happen there is that the partner who's ahead must not now speak against the partner who is struggling to overcome whatever, because what they are experiencing is real in their world. So if you see that your partner is left behind, rather get them to individual therapy to undergo that alone whilst you wait for them to recover. And then you can take up, because it's important that you are on the same page as you navigate. If one is lagging too far behind, they will, you will always pull each other back to the past, because you say, yeah, but why are you healed and there when I'm still struggling? You are the cause of the pain. You are the one who caused this. You are the initiator of this. And so the cycle starts afresh. So if you see that in the healing process you are still very far, request your partner if you can go for individual therapy. So that you can be on the same page of, again. Patience is key.
Firstly, can you explain how forgiveness works in a biblical sense, even when the wound is still deep?
Some wounds in marriage are, and let me tell you why wounds are deep in marriage. You know why wounds are deep in marriage? Because remember, the Bible tells us to, above all, think God our hearts. Because now that's where the issues of life are springing from the heart. So, but in the context of intimacy, where the two are becoming one, you can't guard your heart against somebody that you love, and that's what makes the pain of marriage or injustices of marriage, whatever they may be. They could be rejection, they could be infidelity, they could be maybe emotional abuse, whatever pain it is that you're experiencing, it cuts deeper and it goes twice deeper, because that's a person you've opened up all of yourself to. You have not defended yourself against that person. So that's, it's important to understand why the wound is deep. It's because of that. And so even so, it becomes then tougher to forgive, because now that cut is deep. So we've already advised on therapy, and therapy helps you unpack the pain. Remember, it's God who heals hearts. But therapy helps you to unpack the journey and unpack the pain without editing. So you have acknowledged the pain in therapy. But in the biblical sense, when it comes to forgiveness, the biggest example that we have is Jesus Christ, when he uttered words that, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And he did not say those words when he resurrected. He said them whilst he's on the cross, meaning forgiveness should take place whilst you're bleeding. A decision to forgive. Remember, it's not the absence of pain or the absence of memory, but it's a decision, that letting go of this. And yes, I'm going to have to deal with the pain of this, but I'm laying down what has happened and I'm releasing it. Then you can start your journey of healing. It will not be instant. I think this is what, you know, this is where couples fail, because we don't have it in us to walk through something traumatic together and cry and scream and fall apart and wake up the next day feeling better, wake up the next day feeling worse, and navigate it till it becomes history. That's where the biggest issue is. There is no marriage that has not undergone adversity of any sort. Could be anything. Could be financial loss. You could have lost your house. Some have lost kids. A kid just dies in their sleep. And now they have to navigate all of that. They have to forgive themselves for not being there for the child, or not doing enough, and so forth. So with forgiveness in the biblical sense, we forgive whilst we're still bleeding. That's number one. And Number two is to understand that forgiveness is not the absence of pain or memory. Mm. That memory will revisit you more than you think. Mm. That pain will revisit you. Mm. There will be triggers. But now that's hinging on number three, which says never using the offense that happened to slander or discredit your spouse. Mm. Meaning, once you've taken a decision to forgive, that information should not be in any situation be used against your spouse. Mm. Whether it's behind closed walls, whether it's to your family, whether it's to anybody else. Mm. Meaning he can make another mistake. Maybe it's a financial mistake. You can't link that mistake to what he did and say, Bona konamanje, you failed to do that. Mm. Now you are failing to do this. Mm. So that mistake you are trying to let go of should not be linked to any future failure or any future mistake. Mm. So never use the offense to discredit or slander him or her. When you are triggered, this is where the problem is. Mm-hmm. Because we are Christians and we love God, we think that we would probably, if we've gone through something in our marriage, we will never be triggered. You'll be triggered more times than one.
Sure.
Maybe 100 times whilst you are in the healing process. What you always need to remind yourself of is, I have already forgiven and I have let go.
Mm.
Now, what happens when you receive the triggers? You must identify that now I'm triggered.
Okay.
So that your actions do not take you back to what you are trying to overcome.
Okay.
So what the biggest problem that happens at this point, when you are triggered, then you want to call the person again, sit here. Vele, vele, why did you hurt me like that?
Mm.
No, you want to now relive the whole experience. And the person doesn't have answers why they hurt you like that. So I'm trying to say, we are not taught how to manage triggers.
Okay.
Not all triggers should be discussed.
Mm.
If maybe you are triggered, you would rather do the discussion under the supervision of a counselor.
Mm.
And say, you know, last week this is how I felt. Then that thing can be acknowledged. But you can't explode like a volcano. Now, at the absence of the counselor and now reminding the person of where they've wronged you, then you relieve the cycle all over. So when you have triggers, rather they be discussed in the presence of a counselor or dealt with alone or with a confidant, obviously.
Okay.
And preferably a God-fearing confidant. Yeah.
Mm.
And then in the whole forgiveness scenario or process, you will need to understand that you need to give each other grace, because more often than not, that thing is going to show up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be the time, it could be the music, it could be whatever. Something will trigger it some way. But the understanding that I have forgiven, we are now, we have cleaned the wound, we've put all the detergents, whatever needs to clean it, we have bandaged it. Now we're just waiting for it to heal. Obviously, if you touch me, I'm going to jump, but at least it's not septic. At least it's healing, you know. So I've seen people say, I'm struggling to forgive. You forgive whilst you're bleeding. It's a decision.
Okay.
Obviously now, as the one who offended the other one, you can't be found in the same problems that created the initial problem.
Mm.
Then you're not growing and you're not learning.
Mm.
That is why they asked Jesus and said, why did Moses give the men a certificate, allow the men to give their wives a certificate of divorce? And Jesus said to them, no, it was not so in the beginning, but Moses did that because of the hardness of hearts.
Mm.
Because if you repeat the same things over and over and over in a marriage, you harden the heart of your spouse. Even if they would like to forgive you, you harden the heart of your spouse because you are consistently disrespecting them.
Yeah.
You are consistently disloyal. You are consistently emotionally abusive. So in a case where a person has really acknowledged their faults, forgiveness will still not come easy. You'll be triggered. But it's a decision that you take. And then for those that are in marriages where they are consistently doing the same things over and over again, then maybe you should check whether you want to be in that marriage. Because I don't think it's worth it to hurt somebody for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to rob someone's peace on that level. I don't think it's fair it's an injustice for someone to live in pain on your account for the rest of their lives. I don't think it's fair. So to the offender or to the one who's arrogant and continues with behavior that is hurting their spouse, maybe you need to revisit whether you really want to be there.
Sure.
Because now you are affecting someone's health. A lot of people have gone under the grave because of stress, because of depression, because of high blood pressures and diabetes and all those sorts. And when you trace the source, it was marital pressure more than anything and marital pain. So it's also just something to say out there. If you are if you are married to somebody, commit to them. There are no perfect marriages, but there are healthy and functional marriages. They do exist. Perfect doesn't exist, but healthy and functional does. So you need to identify what is toxic that I'm continuously doing that is working against the health of my union. And I think in that way, if we do our own review, we will be in a better position.
Yeah, and precisely when those things, as you were saying, keep on disappointing your partner, you keep
over and over
emotional walls are being built,
they are,
and now you are not able to be open to one another. Now tell me, how can you revive the communication?
I'm glad that I addressed, now before we get to this point, I've addressed that if you are doing anything that is against the union over and over and over again, just know that you're working against yourself. Because now your spouse, what happens is they build up walls, and that's what you call defense mechanisms. Defense mechanisms, but also coping mechanisms.
Okay.
Because if I'm in a circumstance where I'm in adversity, I need to find a way of coping and navigating within that. And that the best thing to do is to shield my heart from the pain. And when I shield my heart from the pain, I close you out. It's automatic. So I know there are couples that have been through that, maybe some 5 years, maybe some 8 years. Anybody who's recently married, I'm just going to plead with you, no matter how much you fight with your spouse or argue, always be in a position to hear them. Because I think that's how walls are built.
Okay.
When people don't feel heard.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how walls are built. It's like, okay, I understand that you're angry, but I'm willing to hear what is affecting you. Okay. Maybe let's look at how you can, let's say a spouse has repented, you're in the forgiveness process. Now you want to, the walls to melt off, because some of them are really walls of Jericho. It's like the person is on the other side, and you're on the other side of the world, and now you're trying to climb a wall without a ladder to get to the other side. So we need to find a way of breaking the wall in order to get to the person. And, you know, I know it's something that is very difficult to do, because you have to rebuild the emotional intimacy now with somebody that, where the intimacy is good, because you can be sexually intimate with a person and not emotionally intimate with a person, especially with, you know, us African women, because we were taught that, you know, whatever happens in the marriage, you know, when it's time for the other intimacy, you have to show up, even if maybe certain things are not solved. And that's how we culture has also, even biblically, I mean, the Bible says you must not withhold, you cannot withhold from your spouse. But the truth of the matter is, most couples are not emotionally intimate, and everything flows from there.
Yeah.
Everything flows. Maybe another day we can do the types of intimacies that are, because they differ. But emotional intimacy, maybe how do we break down the walls? Okay. One of the first things that you do, even if you are not an affectionate person, you have to reach out to your spouse. By affectionate, I'm not meaning sexual. I just mean touches. I just mean like pegs and kisses, whatever, when you're leaving, when you're coming back, hugs. You are slowly trying to say, I'm making my way back to you. There are couples that don't hug. There are couples that no longer kiss. It's just like, it's roommates, basically, that are running a family with children. So you have to start by just initiating moments of affection, holding them by the hand. Maybe you're in town, you know it's been tense, but just introduced putting your hand around them, which is something that you would have not normally, you know, done. And then be interested in the details of their life. So if a person is coming back from work, it depends. My husband doesn't like tea, but other husbands like tea and hot stuff. You make the cup of tea, you sit with them. How was your day? what happened. Maybe you talk to him whilst you are cooking. You are involving yourself in their world. Mm. You are trying to say, I care what happens to you at work. Mm. I care about your pressures. I care about your struggles. And everybody wants to know that someone cares for them, you know. Mm. So rebuild that care, that interest in where they are emotionally. Show concern on how they are navigating the healing process. You know, you have difficult conversations like, I hope I'm, you know, I'm doing my best as a wife to you. Do you have any areas of concern? Is there anything I should improve? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to say? I'm here to be the best I can for you and for this marriage. If there's you have any concerns, you are safe. You are safe to call me out on those things and say, I would like to change this and change that. So in that way, you are making a person feel like their desires matter.
Yeah.
Their concerns about this marriage matter. You want to be the best you can be as a spouse to them. Make life lighter through gestures. Abantu bafane, some women dread going into a cold car in the morning. Go and start the car and put on neutral, start the car so that by the time she goes in, the car is warm. Those small gestures, they are actually trying to say, I care for everything about you. I care about your health. I care about your comfort. So those making life lighter through gestures, it's just small things, man. It's small, small things. Like, you know your spouse, maybe if he's tired, he wants a good meal. Go an extra mile and cook a good meal. Or, you know, at the end of a stressful week, if it's a Friday, okay, he's had a stressful week. Let me cook something special. Be emotionally available. I've learned that African males, more especially males, people of color, don't know what it is to be vulnerable. So it's something that we now have to teach the black females. The black females, that how do you create a safe space for your spouse so that your spouse can be able to tell you most things, maybe not everything, but maybe at least 80% of the things he's going through. Others 20 can be for his confidence or mentors, but at least on the 80%, he can tell you, today I'm feeling useless. Okay, today I'm feeling like I'm failing. Today I'm feeling exhausted. Then you know how to cater for them. They have a space where they are vulnerable to you. And you cultivate that. It's an environment that you create. Meaning, sometimes you have to put your needs aside, your emotional needs aside, and ask, how is work? You know, you are stressed about Tom. How is that situation going? Then he learns. You'll see, as time goes on, he'll be the one that actually starts the conversation. Yeah. Oh, today, this is how I went. This is what happened. Yeah. And this is what frustrated me.
Yeah.
So be emotionally available.
Mm-hmm.
Be vulnerable. When you are vulnerable, you are telling him, I need you. And men want to feel needed as well. They don't want this, you know, thing, I'm in charge and I've got everything under control. Somehow it does make them feel good to be your savior in a way. So be vulnerable. If you feel, oh, you know, today I was going through so much and I was missing you because I didn't have anyone to talk to. It's a tick for them. You are making them feel like, oh, I'm needed in this space. In that way, he's able to come to your level and be vulnerable as well when certain things happen to him. So these things are sort of, the walls will then melt over time. Obviously, it's going to feel clinical at first, but over time, then the walls are going to start to melt and you're going to then rekindle the intimacy, especially the emotional intimacy. Then everything flows from emotional intimacy.
Marriage is work,
A lot of work.
Let's quickly go to a break. We're going to come back just now.
Spreading God's Word. Radio Pulpit on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
For 44 years, Radio Pulpit has been a voice of hope, faith, and love in homes across South Africa. This August, as we celebrate our birthday, we want to share that same hope with those who need it most. There are precious children in our communities who lack even the most basic essentials. Our birthday wish? To bless them with love in the form of school stationery, toiletries, and other essentials. We invite you to be part of this beautiful act of giving. Drop off your donations at our offices in Kilner Park, Pretoria. If you're not sure what to bring, visit radiopulpit.co.za for the full wish lists. These heartfelt gifts will be given to the children at homes such as Jacaranda, Louis Borta, and Marista. Let's make our 44th birthday a celebration they'll never forget, because every child deserves to feel loved. Radio Pulpit, 44 years of hope, sharing it forward. Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
Oh man, we're having the time of our lives here. talking marriage, it's like I enjoy it. I always say that, hey man, God bless me with this show. Because whenever I talk, I enjoy talking about marriage, yeah. I enjoy talking about love. It's the things that I've discovered just now.
Yeah.
When I was just doing this show. So,
yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, it was a blessing in disguise. Oh, man. All right. We're on healing and restoration in marriage after emotional battles. We've spoken about a lot of things. Yeah. Pastor T, understanding the battles, the healing journey, forgiveness, those things we go through.
Yeah.
In our marriages. And it's very important to have these discussions.
Yeah.
To understand. Because even me now, I'm like, okay, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
But now, to get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in some situations, you have to put the other person first.
Yeah.
To get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just forget about yourself.
Yeah, for just a little bit.
A little bit.
To allow
you
process.
Reminded me of another topic we had weeks ago, selfishness in marriages.
Yeah, it's a big one. The biggest killer, yeah. Actually, of marriage is selfishness.
So it's important what you said, you have to get the knowledge about marriage. Just read.
It's not just about you, yeah.
Yeah, read and get to understand even yourself.
Yeah, as a person, even yourself as a person. I've also seen spouses trying to force spouses to be like them.
Yeah.
And they just have a completely different temperament from them. So knowledge is you know, in all our getting, let's also get understanding. The context we are in.
Sure. If you have just joined us, my word, there's a lot we've touched on. But you can always go to our website and search our podcast for this date. You have the whole show. Listen as many times you want to listen to it. So we're moving on. Spiritual restoration facility. How can prayer transform the atmosphere in a home facing marital battles?
So I would say prayer is the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's my conviction that as much as therapy is important, as much as coaching is important, and self-help books are important.
Mm.
I believe that God is the source of marriage.
Mm.
And if we don't consult there, if we don't build an altar within our families, we might find ourselves struggling to withstand the storms. I think prayer is a critical ingredient, more especially because when we pray, remember prayer is not one way, it's two way.
Yes.
So we're telling God, we're giving God our petitions, our supplications, everything. We are in warfare. We are warring against whatever is coming against us. But we also have a chance to listen in on what God has to say. And it's my sincere belief that most of what has made marriages stand, I know personally from my personal experience, most of the information I got in navigating a current challenging season that I had would always be in prayer. Because prayer is not one way. God speaks back. And sometimes he's correcting you.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's speaking to you about what he's going to correct or what he's going to do. Sometimes when we don't engage God with these things, our emotions supersede the purpose of marriage, and supersede our emotions, just sort of cloud everything that else that we are trying to build. So you can find yourself, let's say somebody's building a house, then they realize, oh my word, I thought I needed a budget of 2 million. Now I've exhausted the 2 million and I'm halfway. You understand? It's easy to say, okay, I don't think this project was worth starting. You understand? So with marriages like that, you can find yourself in situations like that where we're like, okay, I think I underestimated this thing. And sometimes the source of wisdom, the Bible says, is there anybody who lacks wisdom? Let him ask. And I think sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Sometimes God can put you in a life of a person that is very has got a very complicated past. And somehow God uses your being together to overcome certain things, to break certain cycles, and to overcome certain barriers and so forth. So prayer is critical in the sense that we get direction. Prayer is where we fight back, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You know, even in families, there are strongholds. In generations that we come from, in our lineages, there are strongholds. So if you're going to come at marriage with just philosophy and psychology only, you might also fail, because some things are generational and have to be addressed. Some things you will have to war against. In prayers, where we declare the things that we want to see, in agreement, because if we agree on anything, especially in the marriage covenant, it's a very powerful covenant. That thing can be established. That's why the devil is fighting the unity of the marriage, because he knows that if he keeps you in loggerheads and divided, there's nothing that you will come together and decree and establish it in your lineage and in your family. And so the fight is mostly about that. Is that that the enemy knows that if you can come into one accord. Yeah, I don't know if you remember those men that were building the Tower of Babel. And they said, no, we want to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build something that's going to reach the heavens. And God saw that so long as their mind is on this thing and they're of one mind and one heart, they can't be stopped. So God had to just, you know, confuse the language, because it was going to be it was going to be a possibility for that thing to go up there. So it's the same with marriage. I think the devil confuses the language because he knows what we can build. He knows the things that will outlast us, that we are supposed to establish, you know. That some marriages, they have graces of just healing communities. Some marriages have just graces of just empowering others. Every marriage comes with a grace. And so when he tempers with the marriage, he knows he's not tempering with the unit, but he's tempering with people that are supposed to benefit, especially the people in your household, because you never know who you are raising. And so prayer is needed, because you could be grooming the next prophet, you could be grooming the next president, you could be grooming the next person that God wants to use for impact. So obviously then prayer is important, because it raises an altar. And we all know that prayers go up as a memorial to God. There are prayers that our grandparents prayed that we are now benefiting from, you know, though they are long gone, that we are now beneficiaries of. So if you erect an altar and raise an altar within your family space, you are not just praying for your kids, you are praying for their children's children. And so we need to know that prayer is at the center. Yeah.
All right. We're going to be rushing this segment, Pastor T, because of time.
Because of time,
Now, what are the specific scriptures can couples stand on during tough seasons?
Well, the Bible is rich, depending what you are facing. Some people need healing. Some people, it's warfare. Some people need breakthrough. Some people, maybe it's if there's been like a spirit of divorce in the family, they feel like they can't they can't overcome, and and the same. So this, you can choose scriptures that address the problem that you're facing. Then you find your generic scriptures like Psalm 23, which is more generic. Psalm 23 carries provision. Mm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It carries healing and restoration. Yeah. It carries declarations. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It carries God's assurance, you know, that even though you walk through the shadow of death, He's with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. So it's you have to identify what your problem is, then align the scriptures that are talking to your challenge. And those are the scriptures that you speak over your marriage. You get your Job 42 verse 2, I know that you can do things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So if you are facing like adversity upon adversity upon adversity, you have to stand on the fact that nothing can stop the will of God for your marriage. Nothing can destroy what God intended for your union. So if you're trusting God for, you know, you're feeling discouraged and you just want to speak into your future, you can quote Jeremiah 29 verse 11, you know, God, I know the plans that you have for me. They are to prosper me. They are not to harm me. They are to give me a hope and a future. So you choose a couple of scripture, line them up that address what you are facing, and just continuously then speak those over your marriage, over your children. Whatever the need may be, because we don't face the same challenges. Yeah, they differ. So I was just naming a few there. Psalms 147 verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. So if you need healing, those are the scriptures you see, God, but you promised me that you would heal my broken heart and that you would bind up my heart and bind up my wounds. So whatever the need is, the Bible is full of, is rich with scriptures. Yeah.
Amen. So what role does worship and fellowship with other believers play in restoring a marriage?
It depends. When you say fellowship, whether you're referring to church or you're referring to maybe couples gatherings and so forth that are helping the marriage to thrive. Fellowship is good for any couple because you are then accountable to a structure. I find that sometimes couples abuse each other without their pastors knowing, without any accountability. So fellowshipping with Bridland is not just about going and having church, but also having a structure where you can say, okay, this person is affecting me in this and this way, I need help. You can't isolate as a couple. But in your integration, I think it's key to keep your sensitive stuff to yourself. I've seen people go to like couples meetings and then they start exposing their sensitive things in front of people and all of that. I don't think that's right in any way. anything sensitive should be behind closed doors with a counselor, with a pastor, with a psychologist, whoever you choose to. But fellowship is important because fellowship gives you accountability, especially when you are serving. If you know that you are serving, you can't derail easily because there are people that are you are accountable to. You have to show up for choir or you have to show up for worship or pastoring or cell group or whatever the case is. So it helps with accountability. It's also uplifting to meet brethren because with a song you can be uplifted. With a word of prophecy you can be uplifted during worship. And your spirit can be edified. So never cease to meet with believers, no matter what storms you are going through in your marriage.
Amen. Amen. We're going to quickly go to a song. Time is against us. Hey, let us quickly go to a song. We're going to come back and closing.
Take Radio Pulpit wherever you go. Listen live on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts. Radio Pulpit, your Christian alternative at your fingertips.
There is no shame in feeling overwhelmed, anxious, or emotionally vulnerable. As a young person, you are going to encounter situations that will make you feel unsafe. Maybe alone or even mentally unwell. I Am Youth and the Child Protection Hotline have joined hands to provide free counseling for young people that is easily accessible. Simply send a text or SMS or call the number 076-037-6345 to talk to someone today.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Oh, wow. What a show tonight. An intimate moment every Fridays from 10 till 12. I'm still here with Pastor T. Lamini. Let's just close it. Let's just yeah. close it. Speak a bit on prevention and moving forward on our topic after healing and restoration in our marriages. Once a marriage is restored, Pastor T, how can couples protect it from slipping back into old patterns?
Yeah, a very, very crucial question. Because I think people do all the spade work and then revert back to the old patterns, which then really, they just nullify all the work that has been put in. I think what would be crucial in this sense is that once a couple has now started experiencing the restoration, is to put boundaries in place to safeguard what they have. You know, every company that is thriving today has policies. If you go to their HR department, they'll tell you, this is what we stand for, this we allow, this we don't allow, this. And that is what helps the output of the company. And also its guidelines that helps them to function optimally as a company. And excel as a company. And it's the same with our marriages. Anything that is working against your union's peace and your union's prosperity and for it to thrive has to be revisited, meaning you will have to sit down and look at every area. So you're not just looking at the finances. You're looking at how you relate to in-laws and what policies you put in place there. Because sometimes it's in-laws that are causing issues within the marriage. The marriage is okay, but it's outside people mingling in a unit. So what barriers are you going to put in place to safeguard your peace as a marriage? Not because the in-laws are bad, but because if any relationship is not demarcated for, it can overburden a marriage. That's what people don't understand. We don't put boundaries because we don't love people. We put boundaries so that we can safeguard what we have and it can thrive. So you look at each area. You look at how you raise your children. Okay, this is how we're going to raise our kids. Okay. This is how we're going to use our money. This is how we're going to demarcate for our friends and family. This is what we do with our sensitive files. We only speak to one person and it's this person. So no family is going to know our business. No friend is going to know our business. It's only going to be the person that's giving us advice. So you put policies in place that are going to govern your union. And it differs, I mean, for different marriages. There's your godly standards that God has put for every marriage, which is your love, your submission. And obviously, being intimate sexually. It's all in the Bible. All of those things are supposed to happen. But what about the things that maybe are not catered for in relation to how the marriage integrates to all these other facets? So that's where it's your job as a couple to say, this is not going to work for us. So we are putting this barrier here to safeguard what we have. And obviously even time of arrival at home. If you guys are not spending enough time together, then put aside Fridays and say, we are demarcating, this is our boundaries. Fridays are for our family and feeding our family and pouring into each other as a family. And in that way, you have a culture in the family that promotes the thriving of the marriage. And it eliminates the external pressure to a certain extent and the external influence to a certain extent.
All right. Okay. Final words. What encouragement do you have for someone who feels like it's too late for their marriage?
Sure. I think a lot of marriages are actually here. A significant number of marriages are at a point where they're like, okay, is this going somewhere or it's not? You know, trust me, when you deal with marriages on a weekly basis, you realize how demotivated people are in their unions. And my advice to people that have reached there, especially if you are a man and you are in a marriage that is very, please be the one that takes initiative in getting help. Don't expect the wives to take initiative. That's what leadership is.
Yeah.
Take the first step to say, I'm not managing, I'm failing to fix my problems in this marriage as a man. It does not mean I'm a bad leader. It just means that I need help.
Yeah.
And so if you're a man, please don't be dismissive. Take your family for therapy. Secondly, as a man, show leadership and start putting measures in place in your household, no matter how difficult things are. Set the pace for prayers, for reading of the word, for communion, for fellowship, for intimacy between you and the kids sometimes, not even between you and your wife, but for you and the kids. Yeah. Create a culture that must rebuild. And so that is my plea to all men that are out there. And then secondly, to all spouses, males and females, please do not be difficult if one spouse is reaching out for help. It means they still care.
Yeah.
When they don't want to go for help, most of the time they've reached their limit. It's like, it's done. No one can help us. So nothing is impossible for the one who believes. You need to believe that God has a plan for your marriage. Marriage is not about how you feel. It's about purpose.
Yeah.
And sometimes we abort purpose based on how we feel, only to find that a marriage could have survived and could have been a blessing to many, could have produced, you know, giants and children of influence. So sometimes we give up because of the overwhelm, you know. Thirdly, let's let go of pride and selfishness. A marriage can survive anything except ego. A marriage can survive ego. But there are marriages that have survived, you know, multiple affairs. There are marriages that have survived death of children. There are marriages that have survived fatal car accidents where a partner is a zombie, is a vegetable for 20 years now, sitting on a chair, and the marriage is still existing. So a marriage can survive most things except ego and pride. And if we can get rid of that and be vulnerable to get help, you find sometimes that our problems are not as big as we think, and they can be navigated. So let's let go of the pride, let go of the ego, and reach out to the relevant people.
Oh, that's it for tonight's show. Thank you so much, Pastor T. Thank you for being with us. I can see that the Lord has helped you in this topic.
I love families. We could have gone on for another hour just discussing about the dynamics.
You are very passionate. Thank you so much. For those who are saying, I want to hear more of her, where can they get you?
Okay, I'm running my office from home. So my address is 34 Onida Street, Val de Grace, just after Hatfield in Pretoria.
Okay.
So I do physical sessions, but I also do online sessions. Okay. And then my number is 081-303-2126. 081-303-2126. That's for those that just want to make an appointment. We can either do it online or do it physical. And then usually if a couple then comes with a case that I feel needs intense therapy, I then refer you to a psychologist, because my practice is coaching, and obviously then family support. So I deal with just conflict resolution and mapping a vision board for the family, on, you know, working on communication and things like that. But if I feel there's deep therapy, then I always give referrals to people that can do intensive therapy. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. This is not the last time I have you here. You see, I've noted down your next topic.
You're already.
Types of intimacy.
Types of intimacy. We can look into that and why it's important.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Family, every Friday from 10 to 12, we're here. We're passionate, man. For this, you get what I'm saying?
Definitely.
We want to see you building your marriage, you working on your marriage, you trusting God in your marriage. Get that knowledge. Pastor T said it. Go. There's a lot of sites you can go to. Google Just search there. There are free books everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can get that knowledge everywhere. Start doing it now or tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
657 AM, Radio for Believers in Action.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.